Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Jason Williams to break down the Bengals' most recent win over the Tennessee Titans, a big win in Nashville. The Bengals are 7-4 with arguably the biggest game of their schedule and their season coming up here as Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in town this weekend. Another rematch between Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. A lot of star power on the field. But before we talk about the Chiefs, we'll be recording an episode later this week to talk about that game. Specifically, Jason, just give me your overarching thoughts on what you thought about how the Bengals played against the Titans.
Overarching thoughts are that they smacked them. They went in there and played their brand of football, and they out-physicaled them. I know it sounds like coach speak, but that was a big boy victory. And, I think what Joe Burrow said, great teams win that game. And I think, we've talked a lot about it, but you really didn't know what this Bengals team was. I think now we do know. They're a pretty good team. And for them to go in there and beat a very physical Titans team on their field against, Mike Vrabel and that tough running game and shutting that running game down, I think Bengals fans should be pretty excited about the stretch run here. This is a good team.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about it a bunch of times. We didn't know what the Bengals were because most of their wins came against some bad teams. But I agree with you completely. It's not often, because of the star power at their skill positions, you label the Bengals as a tough physical team. They're more of a finesse team because of how much they drop back and throw the ball, and plus their skill players just being so good and none of them really being those tough, gritty style of players. But you're absolutely right. I thought Zach Taylor's post-game speech was really interesting to watch because he said to them, they have to play us. And when the Bengals play like that and rattle off wins, we're going to spend more time talking about how scary the Chiefs are, which they are. They're 9-2. They have one of the all-time, if you look at the stats, some of the all-time best offense this year. They're not just good. They're very good. And we're going to spend more time talking about them. But we should spend more time talking about the Bengals because they've beaten the Chiefs, twice. I know it was last year, but they beat them twice. They went into their house and beat them. And so I think Bengals deserve more credit. I would say I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, obviously their run defense was really good, but I think because of the scrutiny, and myself included, of I was kind of hard on them early on the season about their offensive line play. They have played so much better. Outside of the Cleveland game, you have not seen Burrow look completely dismantled because they can't get a drive together because he's on his back far more often and they're, having to punt all the time. Over the last month, I think their offensive line has played so much better. And I was there and watched the game in person last year. Jeffrey Simmons last year absolutely destroyed the interior of their offensive line. He had 3 sacks. He didn't do anything against them. And I think it's a credit to Ted Karras, Cordell Volson, and Alex Kappa, and the Bengals front office for going out and getting those guys in the offseason.
Well, no doubt. Dave Lappin talked about this the other day on the radio, just that, they've just gelled. They've had this enough time together now to really play together. And it takes a lot of time for a new offensive line to just develop that chemistry. And now they've really developed it, and everybody knows what everybody's doing. And, I think part of it too is that, Lyle Collins seems to be healthier. He was pretty banged up early in the season, and, but he's gotten a lot better as well. So I think, there's a lot of positives and upside there on the offensive line that they weren't seeing early in the season. And again, if you're going to come together and you're going to develop your chemistry and you're going to get better, there's no better time to be doing that than now as the calendar flips to December.
Yeah, I agree. And last year, I feel like so many people, fans, analysts, that imagine how good the Bengals and Joe Burrow could be if they could just get an offensive line to protect him, right? And they did. They went out there and they got a better offensive line. And you're right, LC is healthy and he's playing as good as he has. I mean, he deserves some praise on this podcast too, because he didn't do anything during training camp, nothing in the offseason. And it was, does LC really still care about football? Does he want to be here? Does he want to still play? He hasn't missed a game. And there's been times where he's gotten rolled up on, and you can tell it means something to him too. Because at the beginning of the year, he said his biggest goal was to play as many games as he could, because that was the knock on him. Can he get through a season? And you hope that he's able to, because they're a lot better at right tackle this year than they were last year. So wanted to make sure we talked about that here. Props to the Bengals offensive line. I wrote a story following the game, which I'm glad we have a podcast to like air things out that you can't necessarily type in a tweet or in a story. I wrote that making the case for the Bengals to start Samaje Perine over Joe Mixon. And I said it with all of the respect in the world for Joe Mixon, but it's my job to analyze what I see. And it is incredibly hard to argue that they did not look better in the run game. And the numbers show you that they didn't look better in the run game with Samaje Perine, especially on first and second downs. Like, how many times have you and I sat in the press box, they'll hand the ball off to Joe Mixon on first down, and they either get nothing or it's a negative gain. Like, it just felt like with Samaje, even if it was just 1 or 2 yards, like, he was always pushing them ahead rather than losing ground and losing yardage. And I know there's a lot of politics and things involved with Mixon, and he was a Pro Bowler last year. And it's a good thing for the Bengals to have competition in their running room. Who knows? Maybe it will make Joe Mixon play better. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with Samaje Perine getting as many, or if not more, carries than Joe Mixon against the Chiefs. Do you agree, disagree? Like, where do you stand with all of that?
Totally agree, right? The hot hand. This team's playing as well as it's been playing all season, and that's with Samaje Perine as a starting running back. Well, he didn't start, obviously, against Pittsburgh, but he played, you know, he was mainly the feature guy then, and then obviously the last game. And what I like, too, about what they're doing with him is that they're really taking advantage of him and his ability to in the screen game and throwing screen passes to him. And, I like what Joe Burrow's doing right now. He's finding Perine on the screens. He's adjusted to life without Ja'Marr Chase, without Joe Mixon. I don't want to get too far away from, you know, your question about Joe Mixon. Yeah, I think that's just a situation where, I mean, your analysis really nailed it. Like, I think you got to ride the hot hand and, try to pick and choose your spots for Joe Mixon and try to get him in there where he can be successful and the team can be successful. But, you know, right now the offense is just going better with Perine. So keep rolling with it.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to bring this up. Like, there's say they win with Samaje Perine, or if Samaje Perine doesn't get it done, you can always go back to Mixon. And I understand, like, they might start Mixon for the sake of starting Mixon. But my whole point was, like, don't be stubborn about who's playing better or riding the hot hand just because Joe Mixon is Joe Mixon. He's a captain. He was a Pro Bowler last year. Like, and I think that Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan will do this, but like, you've seen sometimes coaches struggle to make the right decision because of everything else outside of this person is just playing better. So I'll be very interested to see if Samaje Perine has another big game against the Chiefs, if he'll continue to get more touches. And then, I mean, after the season, you and I will have a ton of time to talk about it. But like, what happens with Joe Mixon and the Bengals after the season. Because I think Samaje Perine showed, with Mixon being out, this team needs a makeover in the running back room. They need a younger back. Samaje Perine, I believe, is 27 and Mixon's 26. Regardless of, you know, if they keep Mixon or not, like, they've got to draft a running back in the draft next year, because they've got to get younger there. And Chris Evans, I think they thought could potentially be like their third down back, like Gio, Bonnie Bernard, and, you know, catch a lot of passes out of the back because he has that skill set. But I got to tell you, they have not been happy with him. And then he went in that game on Sunday, had that penalty on that pick play, and Zach Taylor just basically said, like, you can't make that mistake there. So, but we'll have a ton of time to talk about draft needs and things like that following the season. But I thought that that was an important thing to talk about on this podcast. Defensively, you know, what would you say about this group is your biggest worry moving forward with the schedule that they have? Is it Cam Taylor, Britt, and Eli Apple? Is it them not really recording enough sacks? Like, what's kind of your biggest question mark about this defense moving forward?
Well, I think it has to be the secondary with the injuries, and you're exactly right. The cornerbacks, you know, especially this weekend with Kansas City, with Buffalo coming up as well, some good passing offenses. So I think, you know, that was a running team they just played, and they shut them down. And but let's see what happens when they go against the more dynamic passing offenses. So I think if you're looking off into the down the stretch here, you know, that's the one concern I think that you know, folks should have about the Bengals is their cornerback situation going up against you know, the Chiefs and the Bills, certainly. And but otherwise, like, you know, you just look at that game, and I think, you know, having DJ Reader back is really has been a nice lift for them. The way they shut the run down last week was really, really a thing of beauty. If there is such a thing of beauty on defense. I think there's a lot for them to build off of there. A lot of confidence for that defensive unit going into this big game this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll hold off on giving our thoughts about that game in particular. But I just wanted to get back on the podcast. We had obviously the bye week, which I was off for the whole time. And then last week with Thanksgiving, there's been the podcast for the last couple of weeks, but we wanted to get on here and just give you guys our thoughts and let you know that we'll be back twice a week for the rest of the season, which I'm pretty excited about. I know, Jason, you've been busy covering the UC stuff. That was the big shocker on Sunday, and I almost feel like sports-wise, it kind of took away from the Bengals win. But, I mean, losing Luke Fickell is a huge storyline for Cincinnati sports. So I just wanted to get us back on here for this quick podcast today. But we'll be back on Thursday to give you our thoughts about the Chiefs and everything to know about that game. But it should be a fun one here because you get the Chiefs coming to town for a 4:25 game of the week game in Cincinnati, then another home game against the Browns, which, my goodness, do they need to win that game? And then you go to Tampa for a big game against Tom Brady. And then there's the Christmas Eve game against the New England Patriots, which the Patriots are hanging in there in the AFC. And then you close out to at home with the Ravens and the Bills. And those are looking like huge matchups too. So a lot of fun football to talk about and watch. Jason and I will be there to break it down. So be sure to let us know on social media through our stories if there's anything, you know, you guys want to hear from us. But other than that, we'll be back on Thursday. So thanks for tuning in.